You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. It's a joy to be back in this place again. We do not take this door that is open for granted, but we count it a great honor to be here. We do want to turn our attention to Luke's Gospel this morning. I do want to begin some thoughts that we'll look at again tonight and then again in these morning services. This series of messages and studies were birthed in my heart around a year ago. I heard two different preachers on two different occasions make a statement, just a brief statement. And it stirred in my heart these thoughts that I want to share with you. One of the statements that a preacher made was that God often does things in three-day patterns. That struck a note in my heart. And of course, if God was to do that once or twice, we would say that was a coincidence. But if there is hundreds of times in the Scriptures where we would see that God would do things in three-day patterns, we'd have to think that that's some kind of purpose behind it. So I want to, in these days, preach on the subject of the God of the third day. The God of the third day. The second statement that a preacher made that struck a note in my heart and went so along, because if he's the God of the third day, it seems as though, it's awful deep, I don't know if you can get this or not, that he's in control of happenings. Here's the little statement a preacher made in my presence. Things happen. I did not know, didn't want to be nosy. You got anything happening in your life? Here's the rest of the statement. He said, things happen, but they don't just happen. There is a director behind all of your happenings. God has not left this world wound up and he's waiting for it to wind down. Oh no. He's in control of everything, both bad, good, and in between. They don't just happen. There is a God behind it all. He's called the God of the third day. And I want to begin our study this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. And I want to look at his mama, Mary. He did inject himself into her life in a three-day pattern. Now, remember this. We're not talking about some redneck country folks from North Carolina and Georgia. We're talking about the one that the Catholic Church has put on a pedestal as the Virgin Mary. As we look in this text this morning, I want to preach on this subject, the comprehension of the third day. The comprehension of the third day. I use the little word comprehension because it means the ability to understand. The ability to understand. I don't know about you. Most of you have already been sized for halos. You've already been sized for your wings and you're really ready to go. I'm not there yet. Most of my happenings, I have a hard time understanding why they happened. But things happen, but they don't just happen. There needs to be a comprehension this morning.
It would be wonderful this morning if God was to convince just one of you sitting here. It would be worth my trip if one of you were convinced this morning that God was behind everything that's ever happened in your life. That would be a thrill. Because more than likely, if you were ever convinced of that, you'd kick a back end out of your choir robe. You would certainly quit sucking your thumb and whining about it if you knew somebody was behind it all. The comprehension of the third day. Watch the text this morning, Luke chapter number 2 and verse 42. And when he, talking about Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when he was, when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Look at verse 46. And it came to pass that after... Preacher, you got any idea how long it took to find him? They said they didn't find him until after the third day. There he is, injecting his nose into his mama's business in this three-day pattern. Things happen, but they don't just happen. It says in our text, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. I was wondering this morning, any of you got a child around 12 years old? I wonder what kind of happening it would be if you couldn't find them for 3 days. Wow, that would be frantic. And then some of you may be glad you couldn't find them. I don't know. Don't tell them, though. It probably would be a real letdown to them. She's lost him for 3 days. As we begin to look at this text, because you and I are looking at this in light of ourselves, in trying to comprehend, to see clearly and understand our own happenings. I didn't want to forget, because I'm getting old and sometimes I forget. I didn't want to forget to tell you this. Things happen, but they don't just happen. As we begin to look at it, I want you to see, first of all, the vanity of her comprehension. The vanity of her comprehension. I notice in verse 43, they have returned. He did not come with them. But the text says at the latter part of verse 43 that she knew not of it. I was extremely interested in that little word knew there. It means to clearly understand. Here's a deep thought. Because of the absence of understandable facts. Wow. She did not have the facts on the matter. What did it lead to in this vanity of her comprehension? Notice in verse 44, it led to the supposing of vanity. But they supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey. I was interested in that little word, supposing. It means to assume or to think something is possibly true, but you have no understandable facts. I don't know about you this morning. A lot of my happenings cause me to do two things that is very dangerous for a human to do. Think. And feel. Very dangerous things to do. If you hear a Baptist say, bless God, let me tell you what I think. Look out. If he tells you this, well, bless God, I'll just tell you how I feel. Duck! He's fixing to puke his Adamic nature all over you. Who cares what you're thinking and feeling? I raised three boys to adulthood, and they were thinking and feeling at all times, and I never listened to much they had to say about thinking and feeling. Very dangerous stuff. She is thinking and feeling. In the midst of your happenings, if you do not have some solid facts and you go to thinking and feeling, you will miss the director behind all of your happenings. You will miss him. You will miss him. You will miss him. You will think you've had a run of bad luck. Huh? Why, some of you this morning, if your ship come in, you know you'd be at the train station. Huh? Supposing of vanity. Says they sought him. In verse 44, notice not only the supposing of vanity, notice the seeking of vanity. The Bible says in verse 45, and when they found him not, if in your happenings you're dealing a lot with how you feel and how you think, make yourself a note, I will never find him in my happenings. There are some of you sitting right here this morning. It's almost 10 minutes to 12. What time do you say we start tonight, Brother Billy? 6:30. It's 6.5 hours before we start tonight. And some of you already know you're not going to feel like coming tonight. Wow. Man, barring a miracle, you can get to feeling better. That's amazing. Are you listening to me? Have you ever had your flesh to tell you to go to church? Never, ever have I had my flesh tell me to go to church. Never, ever will you have your feelings to tell you to go to church. Your feelings will always tell you, you better stay at home, buddy. You better take care of yourself. What's the worst that could happen to you? Die and go to heaven? And don't use that night air deal. I don't get out the night air. Hey, scientists have developed now that the night air and the day air are the same. It is no difference in either one. So you have no reason to suppose. Found him not. How come she could not find him? No understandable facts. In my happenings, if I'm going to see the director is behind it all, I must be full. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. You must be full of the facts. You must be full of what this book says. I fear this morning that most Baptists are more full of what they think the Bible says than what they know the Bible says. I believe a lot of times when we make statements about what we think God said, I can almost see him up in heaven. He said, they said that. I didn't say that. Huh? It'll never help you to find him without the facts of his word. The vanity. We're not talking about just some Johnny come lately. We're talking about the Virgin Mary. No understandable facts. Notice not only the vanity of comprehension. Notice the vision of comprehension. The Bible says in verse 46, there is the quest of manifestation. I thought it was interesting. The scripture says, and it came to pass that after. I did not know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. The Father never allowed them to find him until after his normal 3-day pattern. He hung them out even beyond his pattern of normal happenings. How come? Because they were eat up with how they were feeling and thinking and was basing nothing upon facts. Wow. I tell you what, There is a lot of us this morning having things happen to us, and we're missing the God of our happenings because we're consumed not with this, but we're consumed with how we're feeling and thinking. Alton, if there's ever been a morning you need to stop it, it's this morning. Are you listening to me? But you know, the Scripture does tell us in verse 46 that they found him. I was wondering how they found him. Did you notice the start of verse 46? It's an awful deep statement. And it came to pass. That statement is in the Scripture multiple times. It is always a statement of providential arrangements. The only way they found him was that God let them find him. It had nothing to do with what they're doing. Oh, this morning, could I impress upon you this morning, it is not in your plotting. It is not in your scheming. It is not in your thinking. It is not in your feeling. It is not in your doings that you will find God. If you have ever found Him, it's because He let you find Him. Can I assure you this morning that He has not sent you that financial problems that you're having so you can learn how to work a calculator? No! He wants you to find Him. He has not sent you that physical difficulty that you're having so you can find another good doctor in this area. You've already moved out of this area so you can find some more good doctors. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, no, 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 no. He wants us to find Him. And oftentimes we are a day late and a dollar short in finding Him because we're not consumed with the facts. We're more consumed with what we think the Bible says than what we know the Bible says. Oh, there is the quest of manifestation. But I see in our text, not only is there the quest of manifestation, but there is the quickening of members. Look at verse 47. And all that heard Him. These were the fellas down at the temple. Man, he's got the doctors and the lawyers. He's got the theologians down. He's only 12 years old. And he's telling them Scripture. It says, and they heard Him. I was extremely interested in that little word, heard. The little word has the idea of unquickened ears. Unquickened ears. I've always thought, you correct me if I'm wrong, I've always thought that maybe there was some kind of atomical problem with the water in Jesus' days, that most of them were born without those two flapping things on the side of their heads. Because every time he preached, he either began the sermon or ended the sermon with this, "He that hath ears, let him hear." He always said that. Did they just not have none of that on the side of their head? Because it looks like to me, correct me if I'm wrong, most of you look like you've got two of those. I don't think he was talking about these ears. He was talking about these ears. There is some of you sitting here this morning, you've been going to church all your life, and you have never joined, in our day, the Mouseketeer Club. You always got your ears. You've joined a lot of things, but you have got no ears. God don't talk to you. He doesn't make any divine impressions upon you. Unquickened ears. I cannot pinpoint the exact date, but I do know the period of time when I first realized that God talked with me. Are you listening to me? And I tell you, one of the best times you want Him to talk to you is when things are happening and you want Him to tell you, hey, this ain't just happening. I have come with purpose. I have come with direction in your happenings. Are you listening to me? Unquickened ears. I notice in verse number 48, and when they saw Him, they were amazed. That's talking about His mom and His daddy. That little word saw there, it has the idea of unquickened eyes. Wow. Eyes that see things but they do not see them from an eternal viewpoint. They only see them from the temporal. Most of us this morning, you take camp meeting for instance. Most of us will look at camp meeting from temporal eyes. You will come only if you think it's, you feel like coming. Anything could take its place that is temporal. Anything you could feel, taste, or touch could take the place of what is going on here between now and Thursday, which is so eternal. And you will take the temporal and you will offer it as a sacrifice and think that it's more important. That is foolish. Unquickened eyes. You do not see things from God's perspective. It's mom and daddy. They saw, hey, crazy, that boy's in there preaching to them highfalutin Jews and had no clue as to what was going on. They understood it not. Are you still with me? Unquickened eyes, unquickened ears. We're talking about the quickening of the members. I notice in verse number 50, and they. We're not talking about some folks from North Carolina. We're talking about the fair-haired couple, Joseph and Mary. And they understood it not. We're talking about an unquickened understanding. No spiritual understanding of why things happen. I did not, sometimes, you know, I forget. I don't want to forget to tell you this. Things happen, but they don't just happen. I'm looking at some of your faces while I'm preaching. I can tell by looking at your face, you got some things happening to you, don't you? Wow, some of you have been thinking on the way over here to church, well, why in the world is this happening to me for? Things happen, but they don't just happen. There is a director behind it all. I notice not only there is a quest of manifestation, there is a quickening of members. But look in verse 48, there is a questioning of motives. They have been living with the Son of God for 12 years. She had him. This ought to have been a clue to her. I mean, you're looking for a big clue. This ought to have been a big clue. She had him and never knowed a man. That ought to have been a clue to her that he was something strange and special. She didn't get it. Are you listening to me this morning? We're not just talking, well, bless God, if I'd have been there, I'd have figured it out. Oh, you'd have been worse. With your thinking and feeling attributes, my thinking and feeling attribute, and all the explorations we've made by the internet, we're full of thinking and feeling. We'd have been far worse than her. Are you listening to me? The Bible says here in verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold thy father. Ruh-roh. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. She knows better than that. Hey, it's not his daddy. He had nothing to do with bringing him in this world. She's supposing, there's no facts to it. She said, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He sweetly, kindly, and in that Jesus way rebukes her. He says in verse number 49, how is it that you sought me? That little phrase there has the indication. He asks her, why in this world have you been looking for me? He said, didn't you know? Then he sticks in his own little statement. He said, I had to be about my father, my father's business. It's not my daddy, that's my daddy. Ruh-roh, are you listening to me this morning? Things happen. We're talking about some people that you would think Man, I don't know about you. If I'd lived 12 years with the Son of God, I feel like I'd have been much further along than that. I don't know. I've been with him 42 years now, and I ain't even started yet in comprehending my happenings and responding properly to them. I'm talking about the vision of comprehension. You still here? Look in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6. We're still looking at the Virgin Mary now. Mark chapter number 6. I draw our attention, third of all this morning, to the vileness of comprehension. The vileness of comprehension. That's Mark chapter 3, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus has been preaching for a while now. He's manifested himself, age of 30. He's called his disciples in verse 18. There's a multitude together. He's speaking to them. Look at verse 21. When his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. Wow. I was interested in that little phrase, beside himself. I think about the vile comprehension. That little phrase, beside himself, is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. It is this little phrase, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. There is a group of people here that thinks he's nuts. Pray tell, who are they? Talking about the vileness of comprehension. Who in this world could have listened to one of his sermons, saw one of his miracles, ever spent any time with him at all, would even go out on a limb and think that he's cuckoo? Cuckoo, cuckoo. Vileness of their comprehension. But I notice the vile company in verse 31. The Bible says in verse 31, there came then his brethren, and who? His mama. Hey, that really messes up the virgin birth thing because she went on to have some more children. Wow. Man, I thought she just stayed one and she was immaculately conceived and she's sitting at his right hand now. No, she went on to have some more children. All of his brothers, all of his sisters, and his mama have come down here to get him out of this house. Because they think he's cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Man, are you listening to me this morning? In the things that have happened in her life after living with him 12 years, after these brothers and sisters have been raised up with him, they don't get it. No comprehension. It's dull. The vileness of it. The vile company. His own mama. His own brothers. I thought it was interesting. In verse 32, somebody come in there to the house where he was at, and they said, the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother without seek for thee. They like to, they want you to come outside. They think you're beside. You say, they think you're crazy. I love the message he sent back to them. He answered them saying, who is my mother or my brethren? He says, the only mother or brethren that he has this morning, verse 35 says, is whosoever doeth the will of God. He said, the only people that have any intimate relationship with me is the people who, when something happens to them, they cry out, not my will, but thine be done in this situation. Don't give me what I want. Give me what I need. Are you listening to me? How come? Things happen, but they don't just happen. Oh, this morning, would that God would allow us this morning as we come into our happenings
to be able to see there is a director behind it all. We'd be able to say, to thine be the glory, the praise and the honor. Let your will in heaven be done in my life on earth, whatever it may be. Not them. They thought that he was nuts. Could I go to another thought if you've got your Bibles there this morning? John's Gospel, chapter number 2. The light does begin to dawn on this old gal, though. We have looked this morning at the vanity of comprehension. We've looked at the vision of comprehension, the vileness of comprehension. Hey, I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, I wouldn't want to stick my nose in your business because your business is your business. I was wondering this morning, when things happen to you, how is your comprehension of it? I'm talking about when God really deals you something off the bottom of the deck. I mean, it is slap face nasty that's happened to you. How do you comprehend that? I tell you this morning, you'll never see that he's behind that if you're not full of the facts of the Word of God. Things happen. They don't just happen. That's why she's had a problem with this. That's why she thinks, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Watch the text, though. Notice the victory of comprehension. I notice that this victory begins at the marriage of Canaan. Preacher, you got any idea when the marriage of Canaan took place? Chapter 2 and verse 1 of John. And the, wow, there he is again. And the third day, wow, there's the God of the third day. He stuck his nose into this woman's business again. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I am extremely interested in what she said. She said in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She said, if he says a word, just do it. Just do it. Victory in comprehending why things are happening to you this morning will only come when you have a strong relationship with the communication of his words. Are you listening to me? Most people this morning, if they're having marital problems, they'll go and talk with someone that's been married 3 times. That is not smart. Somebody who has had financial difficulty, they'll go talk to someone who has filed bankruptcy more than once. That's not smart. Go to the facts of this book. Are you listening to me this morning? There is a strong relationship with the words of his communication at the marriage of Canaan. And lo and behold, some of you still looking at me like this. Did you see what day the marriage was on? That ain't no coincidence. It was on the third day. Wow, God sticking his nose in. I notice not only in this victory of comprehension, strong relationship with the communication of his word, but look in John's Gospel, chapter number 20. Excuse me, 19. I'm sorry. John chapter number 19. He's hanging on the cross. Man, in great agony. I don't know about you. If I was hanging on the cross, my mom would be the last time I'd think of. Not him. Not him. Verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, front row seat,
And his mother's sister married the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. Seems like all the Marys are here. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. He turns the keeping of his mother over to Peter. God forbid. He would not turn her over to Peter. Peter put in a nursing home, been gone. He turned her over to John the Beloved. I notice in this text, he says in verse 27, then he saith to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. If you're going to see that things happen, but they don't just happen, there is a director behind it all. Not only must there be a strong relationship with the communication of his word, but there must be a strong relationship with the care of his work. I did not know if you know this. I don't know if anybody has ever come and told you this. But the one who has caused the things to happen to you is the one who cares the most for you. Are you listening to me this morning? Everything that is happening to you, he caused it. And he says, in the middle of that causing, he says, I am the one that has the greatest care for you. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. Man, he was stoned. He was rotted. He said he was shipwrecked a night and the day in the deep. Do you know what he had the audacity to tell the church down at Philippi? He said, the things that have happened unto me have happened rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Wow. Paul said, man, I've had a bunch of things happen to me, but they didn't just happen. They happened so God could further the gospel. Wow. I'm interested in responding like that, aren't you? Oh, I'm talking about the victory of comprehension, a strong relationship with the care of his work. Could I mention, if you've got your Bible there, now John chapter 20. In verse 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening. What day is that, preacher? This is the night of the third day. You remember we just had that big celebration. We just had a big celebration of God's really display of the three-day thing. Don't you remember? He stayed in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. And he went down there to hell and preached to the captives in hell. And then he said he raised himself from the dead. I know that Southern gospel song. I know we love to sing it. You know, that he wrestled the keys out of the devil's hand to death, hell, and the grave. And he raised himself from the dead. There's only one small problem with that. It can't be backed up with the facts. The devil ain't never had no keys to nothing. He had the keys going in and he had the keys coming out. I love that, don't you? He's God of the third day. Here on the evening of the third day, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. I really believe the text will not bear it out, but the Acts passage, 50 days later of this same group, that passage bears it out. I believe Mama's here. I believe she's in this little group in the upper room. They just wondering what's happened to him. And they got the doors locked because they're scared to death somebody's going to nail their hide to a cross. And he comes through the wall on Sunday evening for the Sunday evening service. And he says, peace be unto you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them, saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. If you're going to have the right comprehension in your happenings, not only must there be a strong relationship with his communicated word, there must be a strong relationship with the care of his work. There must be a strong relationship with the comfort of his witness. I tell you this morning, When things begin to happen to you, if you're going to see the God who is behind it all, you better have your strong relationship with the Holy Ghost. You can call it second working of grace. You can call it wherever you want to. They taught me in Bible school down in Greenville, South Carolina, that I got all the Holy Ghost I was going to get when I got saved. Only problem is Jesus never had that course. He just had the facts. He said, how much more shall he give the Spirit to them that ask for it? Must be more of him if you can ask and get more of him. Are you listening to me? I was reading Acts chapter 1 in closing. Acts chapter number 1. Because it is here when the Holy Ghost fell and everybody in the house filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's see who's here. Acts chapter number 1 verse 13. When they were come in, they went into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and... Well, there she is. I believe things are clearing up for her now. I believe she's seeing it bigger now. How come? She got a strong relationship with what he said, his word. She had a strong relationship with his care. And now she got a strong relationship with the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them that night. She got the Holy Ghost. And now she's here in the upper room in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire and set upon each one of them. And they were all... I didn't know if you'd see that word and I thought I'd underline it. There was no exceptions in the house. Everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you this morning, in a time of your happenings this morning, you will never be able to see there is a God behind it all if you don't have a strong relationship with His Word, have a strong relationship with His work, have a strong relationship with His witness. I don't know about you. I've got to the place where I hate to fly anymore. Fly to some meeting, I just hate it. It just ain't no fun no more. Just too much red tape. And recently I flew to Michigan, and it's even worse if you fly on a cloudy, soupy day. Because when they take off, your first clue is, how in this world did they know where they're at? You can't see Jack out those windows. It's cloudy. Oh, it's just, you can't see your hand in front of you. It's so soupy out there. Of course, I know you say, well, they're flying on instruments. I can't feel it. I can't think it. It looked like to me they don't know where they're going. You ever have any happenings like that? You know what's the best thing in that flight? He just keep climbing, 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 and all of a sudden, we'll break out. Sun, is it more sunshine up there? You can see for miles. I can see planes way over there flying. See, a relationship with the Word, a relationship with His work, a relationship with His witness will cause you to be able to, in your happenings, get up there above the soup, the clouds, and see things more clear. You may even see this. I don't know if you will or not. It's awful deep. I didn't want to forget to tell you this. Things happen, but they don't just happen.